I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Do you need a CPA that you can trust with all your taxes and financial needs? Look no further than Joanne Flash Fleming at Fleming & Associates CPA. For more info, go to flashfleming.com or email Joanne directly at joannflemming@flashfleming.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Darren Bresnitz. We are with Clara Pulido in her wonderful kitchen slash cooking den slash, I'm going to say art gallery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is kind of an art gallery. I actually used to do a teen art show, so some of these pieces on the wall are from that. One's actually from England, so actually two of them are.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
A lot of inspiration.
Yeah.
So we are here in Atwater, hanging out, and you are the founder of Clara Cakes.
Yep, that's me.
You're LA born and bred, right?
Yeah.
Ride or die LA forever.
In my heart and soul, yes. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see what, I think my base will always be LA, but I definitely want to travel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Traveling is great. Yeah. And you have, cakes and products that can take you all over the world, right?
Yeah.
So you got started cooking, well, you're young now, 19, but you got started cooking and baking at a super young age, right? Yeah. How old were you when you first got started?
I was about 12, so I was in kind of like 6th and 7th grade.
And so when you're that young, is that your parents saying, like, you're going to do this, or is it you rebelling against your parents?
I don't really think it was either. My parents let me do whatever I wanted to do. Like, I really liked volleyball growing up, and they supported that. Like, that was in elementary school. And then in 6th grade, 7th grade, I went vegan, and just every day after school.
Did you go straight into vegan, being a vegan?
I was vegetarian.
Okay,
before.
So, raised
relatively vegetarian, even though, if my dad was cooking dinner, like, probably before the age of, like, 6, I would eat the meat, and then after that I dropped it, and then I just wanted to eat vegetarian.
Any reason?
Well, my mom has been vegetarian since she was like 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was cool. Like, it wasn't my mom being like, oh, you have to eat vegetarian just like me. It was just like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm going to try this tofurkey. And then it just stuck with me.
Tofurkey.
Mm-hmm.
So the same time you're becoming a vegan, you're also getting into punk music, right?
Yeah.
Which is awesome because every teenager should get into punk music.
Uh-huh.
How did you get into that? Was it your parents? Was it, friends? Was it someone like passing you, like, I guess it wouldn't be like a mixtape, but maybe, a playlist or on an iPod or something like that.
It was kind of, my parents both grew up in LA during the 80s. Mm. So my dad had kind of a punk band growing up, and then my mom was, like, a new waver and punk person at the same time. Yeah, so, like, she would go dance, and then she would go to see, like, Black Flag. Like, she met Nirvana one time before they were big.
That's so awesome.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
You're like, you guys are cool.
Yeah, very cool.
That's very cool. So you're into punk music.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you going? Where were you going to see shows?
The Smell was a huge place I would go to all the time.
Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Still legendary.
And
I was,
and especially, like, at that age, you feel like, oh, this is, it's so magical. Like, you walk in and you're like, wow, this place is my home.
Yeah, it's always good to, when you're getting into music, at any age, to have, like, sort of like a home base where you know no matter what, you're going to see your friends, see good music, and just, it's like a place that you can call your own.
Yeah, and you don't need an ID. Don't have to be 18 or 16.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
One of those like restrictions.
So a lot of the times when kids are at punk shows, thinking to like make something or sell something there, it's usually like a zine or buttons or something like that. But you decided to make cupcakes and cakes and cookies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How did that idea come about?
So it was actually kind of out of order. It basically happened because it was a hobby, and I would bake all the time, and then, I sold at one event at Space 1520, it was for one of my friends, at that time I had just met her, it was her...
Shout her out, she's gonna
Lana,
win.
Lana,
hey, Lana
Kim.
Hey Lana Kim.
It was for, she used to have a show called The Lana Show, which was hilarious. She would interview different musicians.
Awesome.
And it would always just be like, it would be in a tiny office back when she worked at the director's bureau. So it would just be like Noage or whoever like cramped into this tiny office and she'd ask fun questions.
So you started baking just as a hobby.
Yeah.
And then how did you make that jump in your mind and be like, I can sell these? Or, and then what was it like to like ask to be like, can I bring my wares to the first show?
Well, I guess the show at Lana's release party, that was like the first event that I sold at. So prior to that, people would inquire about ordering and they would taste my stuff at a lot of different nonprofit bake sales.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really impressed. Like the frosting wasn't too sweet and the cake wasn't dry. It was just an overall like really... I don't want to say outstanding, but delicious
say,
cupcake.
First
you know,
off,
it was
first
a really
off,
outstanding cupcake.
Thank you. God, people today, I mean, You've built a mini empire. You could say it's, you've earned the right to say it's outstanding.
Thank you. I think it is. And you'll get to try it someday.
I can't wait. I know. I'm like, I'm like eyeing it.
But yeah, so I sold at Lana's event, and Jim, the owner of the Smell, was like, you should come sell stuff at the Smell sometime.
God, it's so awesome.
And so I would email him and be like, hey, can I sell at this show? If I liked the band, I'd be like, hey, can I sell? Can
it's
I
a good
sell?
Way to get into free as well, right?
Kind of, and just meet people and not have to, if I was just going with my mom, like, it wouldn't be weird because I'd be behind a table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the initial response like? I mean, you know, obviously you probably weren't the only vegan in the scene at the time.
Right.
But, you know, and it doesn't even matter if you're vegan, but, you know, the fact that people are coming to, like, a punk show and knowing they can get, like, awesome cakes and cookies, especially when you're a teenager, is, like, the perfect. It's like, oh, I'm going to listen to punk music and eat sweet treats.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was always a really positive response. And, yeah, from there I met a lot of different clients even and started selling at other venues and art shows and things like that.
So what were the first types of cakes and cookies that you were making?
At first I really wanted to try out brownies and cookies. Cakes too, a vanilla cake, I remember almost being kind of devastated by how hard it was to make a delicious vanilla cake that didn't just taste like oil in a way.
Right.
That
was also vegan.
That was also vegan.
I mean, what was it like? I mean, this is 7 years ago, and obviously there's a lot more products today and vegan baking and food as a whole is a lot. You know, I feel like there's like a niche product for everything, and even in your cookbook I see like vegan butter as an ingredient, which to me blew my mind. I was like, I didn't even know that there was a set product. But 7 years ago, when you're starting out, what was it like? I mean, how much experimentation did you go through, and how hard was it to sort of just even get a base of ingredients that you knew would work across different products?
Yeah. Well, luckily, Earth Balance existed 7 years ago.
Sure.
So
shout them out.
Yeah, I mean, please sponsor me. I've emailed you before. Listen.
Earth Balance, this is a call.
Come on,
buddy.
Earth Balance cookbook, let's do it. so that existed. But, I mean, had that not, I probably would have Googled how to make vegan butter. Because I've known a couple of different people that have made it, and it doesn't seem too difficult.
But it's a lot easier to...
Way easier to just buy it at the store.
Thanks, Earth Balance.
Yeah.
So how, and how long did it take for you to sort of figure out that vegan, like your, I guess your pantry?
I think it took probably a year or so and finding out like using products that maybe didn't work and then products that worked perfectly or using like, vegan, like say applesauce doesn't work so well in cakes, but it works great in cookies.
Flaxseed
works good in bars. And I don't even use flaxseed too often, but I knew this is what it's good for.
Got it.
So I was figuring out, like, what works best.
That's great. And so you're selling at the shows. People are emailing you for cookies and cakes. At what age and how long did it take for you to go, all right, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
This is what I'm dedicating my life to.
It was honestly probably when I started selling at shows and people were emailing me because it was,
that's awesome.
It was really like, it was such a great, and it still is such a great outlet for me because not only was I baking, but I was making flyers for say a Valentine's Day menu or doing bake sales, and hosting Claire Cakes events and things like that. So I was never not.
What were the events like?
The events were really fun. I would sell at a lot of different places. Like, in Atwater, there used to be a market called Atwater Village Farmers Market or something like that. It sounded like the farmers market here. So I would sell there, and then at Thank You for Coming, I've done different pop-ups for, like, breakfast and brunch.
So what are your pop-ups like? I mean, are you doing full menus?
Yeah.
What are you serving?
Well, for brunch, I've done a tiramisu French toast, toad in the hole.
Love some toad in the hole.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you using instead of an egg?
I actually use Follow Your Heart vegan egg.
Okay.
Shout out to Follow Your Heart. They've been really great to me.
Great. Yeah. Better than Earth Balance?
Yeah. Off the record.
Off the record. Totally off the record. Earth Balance, you got some competition.
Yeah.
Vegan egg. So you're doing brunches. You're selling stuff. When did you... I mean, I hate to say the word formalize because, like, it makes it sound like now I'm a business. But at what point were you like, this is a business in that, like, you got to think about, like, I don't know, it's like P&L sheets and things like that. But like, it's not just like, oh, I made some money, I didn't make some money. Like, I have no idea. Like, when did it start to solidify as an actual, like, money in, money out type of situation?
I think I've always been thinking that way because I've never wanted to buy ingredients and lose money on a product.
Yeah.
So I was always really aware of, like, making lists, making sure that I was buying enough ingredients but not too many.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I got QuickBooks, like, a few years ago just so I could kind of see my
list. How old were you when you got QuickBooks?
God, I don't know. Maybe, like, 16?
Oh, man. You know, some people want a 17? Car. Yeah. For being 16, you want a QuickBooks.
Yeah.
It's great. Shout out to QuickBooks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You're making it so simple.
So simple.
Let's work together.
All right. We got a whole list of people we're going to write after this show. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the business now, who you work with in LA, and then the awesome Clara Cakes cookbook, which is coming out in March.
March 7th. Yeah.
It's like you're giving birth.
I know.
Right?
This is literally my baby.
This is your baby.
Yeah.
With your face on the cover.
Yeah. Kind of weird. But I mean, it should look like me, right?
That is very true. I guess if it was me. I guess if it was like, if it looked like someone else, be like, ooh, whose book is that?
Who's that?
Who's that? All right. Well, we're going to hear a song from the Snacky Tunes archive here on heritageradionetwork.org.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Now, my baby.
Okay, welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We are with Clara Polito of Clara Cakes in her killer art gallery slash kitchen slash
office slash maybe lab.
Science lab. How much experimentation do you do?
I do a lot. And I've been branching out into cooking as well. So yesterday I was experimenting making homemade tortellini.
Ooh.
And trying to get the tortellini dough perfect. I definitely have to work on that today.
Oh, are you doing like an egg-based tortellini?
It's going to be, well, everything I make is vegan.
Fake egg. But you know.
Yeah, I'm going to use, well, I'm using silken tofu, but I'm going to play around with how much this time.
How much failure do you come across in your experimentation?
I come across a good amount. I mean, yesterday I was kind of frustrated that basically when you're trying to pinch the sides of the tortellini,
yeah,
so that when you boil it, like the cheese doesn't come out.
Yeah.
I think that I just overworked the dough a little too much, so it wouldn't pinch. So I was just, at some point I had to be like, okay, it tastes good, but experiment more tomorrow.
I mean, it's easy to test and succeed and fail in the privacy of your own kitchen, but running a business at such a young age, you must come into, like, some ups and downs, just like any business.
Yeah.
And how do you deal with it? I mean, how did you learn the business of being, like, selling food and things like that?
I mean, I think I learned basically by trial and error.
Yeah.
It's very rare that, like, that I've been in the kitchen and I've been like, okay, this isn't coming out right. Or
yeah,
maybe it has, but you just have to like be really fast and be like, okay, I could fix it by doing this. And not freaking out.
Yeah.
So.
No freak out moments?
I mean, I've had freak out moments.
Yeah.
You know, you have to freak out a little bit, or at least I do, and then be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you don't run a business and don't freak out, then
you don't really care about it.
Yeah, maybe. You don't really care about it. Because
it's
personal.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
It's like personal.
Yeah, and then, I mean, who said, I'm blanking on who said this quote. I just read an interview. I forget what chef said it, but they said, your food is only good, it's only as good as your last meal that you served.
Yeah.
So, like, say you make something for somebody, and they're like, oh.
Maybe Anthony Bourdain, or maybe Danielle Boulud. Or Danny Meyer, or all the guys who have made it.
Yeah, maybe a lot of people have said
all
this.
The guys. But no, it's true. I mean, it's as good as the last meal you serve people.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, remember that time I came to the restaurant like 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
So I can sort of serve you a crappy meal now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
exactly.
So how did you expand, when did you start to expand really past like the punk shows and pop-ups? Because you have some, you sell to clients now in LA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Who are you selling to?
So first I started selling wholesale cupcakes to Pizzanista.
Love Pizzanista.
Me too. Yeah, it's the best. I actually took a picture of pizza there, posted it on Instagram, and then Salman, the co-owner, commented and was like, hey, we need desserts. And then he gave me his email. I emailed him. I came in with the cupcakes and he was like, let's sell these.
That's awesome. We actually, my wife and I had their vegan pizza at our wedding for all the vegans.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you have them cater the wedding?
We had pizzas. We had like 40 pizzas at our wedding for the food.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our vegan pizza from Pizzanista. They're the coolest.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, what was the response off the bat?
Amazing. I have so many customers that have found out about me through Pizzanista.
God, pizza, bring the world together.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
And who else, then from there, people were like, I want to stalk you, I want to have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of, like I sell at Ozla, which is Ethiopian fusion food, located in downtown as well. Amazing.
I love Ethiopian food.
It's some of my favorite food. So
vegan.
Flavorful and just, yeah.
Straight, like mostly vegan.
Everything's vegan. Yeah.
Everything's vegan. That's great. And so it's just been like word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Strong Instagram game.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then I think a lot of different customers referring me to friends of friends, and then maybe that friend happens to own a restaurant.
I mean, you know, vegan desserts get a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
So when I feel like vegans find stuff that is tasty.
Yeah.
Or non-vegans who are just looking for like a healthier option, they're like, they spread the word.
Yeah, and I think desserts in general sometimes are not super fulfilling. Like, I have a lot of clients that aren't vegan and they like my stuff because the frosting is light. It's not super thick and sugary.
Yeah.
It's not too sweet. The cakes always have a good level of salt in them. So I think it's not even just, oh, these are really delicious because they're vegan. It's just because people find them and they're like, this is perfectly balanced and super satisfying.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely had some vegan food where I was like, this is a lot of salt and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like murdering my mouth.
Yeah.
To make me blind to the fact that there's all of this stuff that's not in it.
Yeah.
Instead of being like a perfectly balanced piece of food.
Right. Yeah, too much overcompensation.
Yeah. So let's talk about the cookbook.
Yeah.
March 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the due date.
Yep. And it's funny, my birthday is actually March 10th.
Huh?
So I wanted this cookbook out before I was 20, so it's just 3 days short of my birthday.
That works.
Yeah.
That totally works.
Yeah.
How did the cookbook come about? And two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you start thinking on your own, like, I think I have enough recipes for a cookbook? Or was it someone being like, have you ever thought about a cookbook?
So it was the second, second question. A couple people asked me, have you ever thought about doing a cookbook? And then it wasn't until Powerhouse approached me about doing one where I was like, yeah, I need to do this. At first I was kind of like, well, maybe I should have a storefront first, but I don't have the funds at all to have a storefront.
Mm-hmm.
So a cookbook seemed like such a great way for everybody to access what I do, and reach out to people in like middle America and whatnot.
Yeah. So how did you start putting this together?
I think I had a lot of these recipes on hand before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cookbook just inspired me to experiment. And if a chapter was missing, like a few recipes, I would come up with an idea. And I mean, I'm always pretty full of ideas. Sometimes it's the hardest thing for me is to narrow them down.
Yeah.
So once I had a reason to experiment, I just went for it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, what was the sort of like overall approach? Like, how did you want to balance it? Because obviously it's called Clara Cakes, but it's not all cakes. And you got sort of known for like your cookies, like the Inception cookie first. But like, how did you want to like build the narrative of this cookbook?
Yeah, I mean, everything just kind of happened organically. I think the first cookbook, makes sense for it to be all desserts because that's what I know best.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want it to just be cakes because my menu has always been balanced. So it's been like bars, cookies, pies. And I wanted to have classic recipes like banana cream pie and chocolate cream pie, like things that, like I used to eat Marie Callender's pies all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like those two recipes really fulfill like having, they remind me of having Marie Callender pie.
Mm.
So I had to include that because a lot of these recipes have stories attached to them.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what people want out of a cookbook these days. It's
exactly,
like,
yeah,
part cooking, but also part story and part like getting to know who you are.
Yeah.
It definitely has like some of that like zine, punk rock, DIY aesthetic. Was that something that you definitely wanted to include in the book?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want it to be like overwhelmingly like crazy. But I wanted it to have some youthful aspects to it because I have been doing this my entire teenage life.
Yeah.
And I wanted it also to be not overly girly. I mean, there are flowers in here, but there's kind of like this cool handwritten Old English font.
Yeah.
I want it to appeal to everybody.
I mean, it doesn't feel girly at all.
And this, the flowers on the cover of the book and throughout the book actually come from a tablecloth I use.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's like all, it's all you.
Yeah.
So what is the cake we have in front of us?
This is a vanilla bean cake with vanilla bean frosting.
You keep talking, I'm just going to dig it.
And then a strawberry blood orange sauce. It's a Valentine's Day special.
That's good. Mmm. That's really good.
What's yeah?
That? Yeah.
Shit. I got to dig in, remind myself. That's right.
What?
I forgot I bake.
You bake?
Just kidding.
I mean, it's moist, it's sweet, it's got that little bit of salt, it's super tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like...
It's my breakfast.
Yeah, perfect breakfast.
Yeah.
I feel like every narrative has been breakfast related just because I end up eating cake for breakfast all the time now.
How much cake do you eat for breakfast?
What was that?
How much, sorry. It's really good. How much cake do you eat for breakfast?
At least once a week I eat cake for breakfast. I mean, during this cookbook, it was every day.
How long did it take for you to put together this cookbook of just like testing, retesting, putting it together?
Yeah.
And like, when did you know that you're like, I'm done, I'm ready to get this thing out?
Well, we worked on a pretty tight deadline because we wanted it to get out before I turned 20.
Right.
So the actual experimentation, photos, documenting took probably like, I want to say like 3 months, 3 to 6 months maybe.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you had a lot, it's like your first one, so you had a lot of stuff in the bank already.
Yeah, right? Totally. So, yeah, it took around that amount of time.
One of the great things about the book, in addition to recipes, is that you do give business tips as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was that important for you to include? Do you hope to see that?
Definitely.
This book inspire a bunch of other, like, young punk rock bakers or chefs and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, there's one essay in here called Breaking Even, and it's kind of, even if you're not, like, even if art, or not art, even if baking is not, like, your medium, maybe, for the art that you make, or even the work you do, I feel like it's still an important piece of information to say, like, even, like, say if you're buying art supplies or you're buying something, just make sure you buy the right amount. This is how, it's basically a guide on how to not lose money when you're first starting out.
I mean, that's a huge, I mean, at any age, but that's a huge, because you, like, get so excited and you pour money in, and then you're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. And it was never really like that for me. I mean, I've always had to be very conscious about how I spend my money.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really wanted these essays in it, because I want working class people and working class youth to see this book and be like, oh, I could do this. I could run a business. I could be vegan. Like, there are so many different things that I wanted to bring together in this book.
That's so awesome. So what's next? You're going to go on tour?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where are you going on tour?
Pretty sure I'll be going to, well, it starts in LA at 356 Mission on
March 4th.
Gotta
start in the hometown. Hometown show, kick it off.
Yeah.
Right?
So shout out to my fun party here. And then I think Detroit.
Nice.
I'm gonna do a pop-up dinner and then a workshop and just a bunch of fun stuff.
That's awesome.
South by Southwest.
Of course.
And New York.
Where in New York?
We're going to have the release party at Powerhouse.
Awesome.
And, yeah. And
that's great.
Oh, and then that same week, I'll be doing a pop-up at Adelina's in Brooklyn. It's an Italian restaurant.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Clara, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me some cake for breakfast.
My pleasure.
It's awesome. Where can people find you online? Where can people order the book? Where can people order your vegan wares?
Yeah, so you can order the book on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I also suggest Barnes & Noble and Target. That way the love is spread out and people won't, you know, New York Times won't be like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
Not that I'm, who knows, maybe I'll have a bestseller on my hands. You never know.
You never know.
And my website's claracakes.com. Instagram, Twitter, all Clara Cakes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Clara, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
Super
you for
cool.
having me.
Oh my God, thanks for the coffee and the cake. We have another track from the Snacky Tunes archive, and then we have a live band coming up here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Without any relation, did I miss some stuff? I will catch in a daydream without closing my eyes. Ooh, yeah. New sound temptation, can't look away. You're my fixation, I don't need a day. Taking it my way, alright. just wanna hold you. I know you just wanna pray like a piranha. Telling lies to mama. All those people saw you twirling your hair. I'm gonna get you and you don't care. I know you've got a secret for me. I better run. I better run. I'm already writhing because your touch is so reviving. I can't express which shape besides love is a compromise. I work with the grand design, yeah. And if you should leave me, I already know. We came apart because the blow was at the door. So I'll just say my piece so you receive it all. No matter large or small.
Are you filing your own taxes and driving yourself crazy? Do you think a professional can do a better job of finding legal deductions? Do you own a business and need help with the accounting and taxes? Are you a not-for-profit business that needs financial guidance? Are you just plain tired of your boring accountant and looking for some fresh eyes? Try Fleming & Associates CPA. At Fleming & Associates, Joanne Flash Fleming can quantify anything in a flash. She'll do your taxes, assess your worth, and is even a forensic accountant. An investigator of white-collar crime. Joanne Fleming once said,
"It was terribly hard for me to read Moby Dick, but put a financial statement or a tax return in front of me, it's like a novel."
Imagine that. Has the political and financial news got you feeling down? Joanne Fleming was the accountant for the Occupy Wall Street movement back in 2010. Who better to trust with your financial secrets? For more info, go to flashfleming.com. Or email Joanne directly, JoAnnFleming at flashfleming.com.
This week, we have the Immaculates in studio. Welcome.
Welcome, gents. Looking dapper.
I can say, last week we had the boys of Maison Premier here looking dapper. They were the most dapper food guests. You now have the title of the most dapper band, so congratulations.
Yeah.
Right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You are taking my short and sleeveless look and making it even look more like bum-ish.
I mean, I would say that I definitely thought about wearing a button-up shirt today and wearing it because I knew you guys would be wearing ties.
Yeah, it's had that effect, we've noticed, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because we're dressing up, like, people who, you know, are at shows sometimes tend to just dress up.
But I feel like that's a thing, like, you know, it's like when we used to go to ska shows when we were in in high school, you know, like...
I was never at a ska show.
Okay, you bought me tickets on our, like, 60% ska against racism. A seven-hour show, fighting the good fight.
Seven-hour show, 400 songs, all of them sound the same. So let's go around the room, introduce yourselves.
Pick me up!
Yeah, who plays what? What do you guys do? Let's do that.
My name's Matt Convoy, and I play the bass.
I'm Cyrus, I play drums.
I'm Jay, I play pipes, I don't know, vocals.
Who's the Don?
That's our manager.
He's not with us today.
Oh, okay.
He's being held by customs, so he won't be back in the country for a couple more.
I gotcha. He's got I thought he was in Washington today, he's overseeing the debt ceiling crisis.
Well, He's a lot of places. He's a man around town.
A man around town. So, you guys had a fantastic show at DBA on Friday, and it's a different type of sound because you're definitely pulling from some of the soul and rock and roll stuff, but then you definitely have like a lot of that. I'm going to say hardcore punk influences as well with the vocals and things like that. What's that look?
No, we're looking at you. I'm just okay. You're making good observations. Yeah, gentlemen of the Immaculate.
These are observations. So can you talk to us
respond
about your influences and about the sound that you're putting out, because it's not like any other
I think
band
hardcore punk is accidental. but you know, I could shave my head into I could do a mohawk, but yeah, I think it's, you know, we're trying to do soul and we don't know how to do it. And then everything else is an accident.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, this is like, especially the setup, you know, it's so simple with just like the bass and you know, just the vocals and drums. It's just like a simple thing. So it kind of can, you know, the simplicity kind of makes it, you know, anything. You know, it's like, could be kind of Stoogesy. It could be kind of like this-y. But, you know, we're really, we want to play soul. And I think we're, and as this band is very new, we're learning more and kind of like, you know.
I mean, I definitely think a lot of soul music is based around the rhythm section and then everything else. The horns, the strings, and things like that. And then the voice really adds to the song. That's really where the soul of soul music comes from.
Yeah. And you listen to early soul, and it's like, it's a lot dirtier and kind of like, I mean, it was also the recording techniques at the time, but it's like, so maybe it sounds like more of that. Maybe we'll evolve into being more, you know, regular. I don't know. It's just, this band is an accident, and it's a happy accident.
How's it an accident?
Well, I mean, really what it was we all wanted to be in a band that we would want to listen to at a party.
And, oh, that's a good place to start.
I guess that's not an accident, but whatever.
But it was kind of an accident that we ended up trying to play soul music, but that just seemed like the best fit for what we were trying. I think what we all kind of imagined.
We were actually at a party together.
They were playing soul music.
And they were playing soul music. We're like, we should just play this. That'd be fun, right? This summer, because all of our other bands are kind of like, you know, like writing or doing weird things or like, I don't know, in some kind of weird, you know, we're not playing the summer, so we're like, let's just have a party band for the summer. We'll play people's houses, we'll sing out of amps, we'll just whatever, you know, like
I think if someone had described to me party band in Brooklyn with soul music inspiration, I would go see it. But let's hear.
Yeah,
enough talking about an abstract.
Yeah. All right.
So we got the Immaculates playing live on Snacky Tunes. And what's the first song?
It's called Hey Joe Kelly.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Take it away.
Yeah!
Wow.
All right.
You are also the loudest band we've ever had on Snacky Tunes. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Name that song. Name that song again. Now, not through the distorted microphone.
All right. It's Hey Joe Kelly.
Do we need a second? Have a sip of beer. Catch a breath.
Yeah. I mean,
that was great.
Band takes it out of me.
It does. You guys got to have an awesome live show and live performance. It's very, it's very tight, as they would say. It's tight.
Thank
and
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Tight and soon. What are the plans for the rest of the summer? That you guys going on tour at all? You guys looking to get out in the road, eat some food, hang out with some people?
Well, we have a show on Saturday at the Brooklyn Bowl.
Love that place. So you're gonna get some
food. Oh, they feed you. Yeah.
I'm gonna get a $9 milkshake.
Oh,
it's worth it.
It is.
Get a $9 milkshake.
I was talking to John Dwyer, and OCs were about to play there, and I was like, you got better get that $9 milkshake and just grab it to me. But now I can have my own $9 milkshake.
I think that you should request it to drink it while playing. See what happens.
That sounds awful.
I have a steak waiting for me when I get off.
Yeah.
Too bad. I think we're playing really late. I'll put it 2 a.m. or something like that. So.
That's the problem with playing there is that like it's like you don't want to eat at 3 in the morning, but there is no time early enough unless it's the day before to eat your free meal at Brooklyn Bowl when you're playing. But it's so good.
It is so good.
I'm only going to have, like, 3 chicken wings, and I'm going to play the show.
Yeah. But it should be fun. It's, like, that Contora Records, like, late night thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kevin Barnes is DJing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Fun. Yeah.
This is going to be awesome. I will say this about Brooklyn Bowl, and we've said it on here before. We'll say it again. Easily one of, like, the most, like, professional, best staff, like, ever. Yeah. As far as, like, it goes. Like,
Williamsburg.
I mean, and you know the venues that we all sometimes go and play and, like, from, like, run the gamut from your hole in the walls out in Bushwick to, like, the city. They, hands down, like, have brought, like, it's like, oh, you need this? Great. Oh, you want this? Awesome.
I couldn't agree more.
Can I say how pumped I was to feel air conditioning coasting on my skin on Friday night at DBA?
Oh, yeah. It's great, right? Air conditioning.
Air conditioning.
It's always been there. It's just a little finicky.
Yeah, well, not always. Maybe last summer we started, but it was not. It was like intermittent. Now it's pretty good.
I mean, I've had some sweaty nights, some great nights, and the new state. It looks good.
Thank you.
Looks good.
Thank you.
Where do you guys fit into the Brooklyn scene? I know that it's so easy to get divided because you guys have your other projects are much easier to place because you're like, oh, you're in the noise rock and you're in the surf rock and you're the blah, blah, and the indie rock, but this is like.
Burp, burp.
It's the Burm Rock?
Burm Rock. We don't know. It's too new, but it seems to be kind of, I don't know.
I kind of feel like we fit kind of naturally in a way because we don't sound like any of the bands that you really see a lot in, like, our world, but I don't know. I almost feel like everybody kind of is down because of that, because it's, like, slightly a breath of fresh air, I hope. You know, instead of your, all right, great, this is, you know, we're really into garage rock, guys. You know, like, I don't know. There's a lot of the same, so I think anything that's weird or not normal maybe helps.
I think my favorite type of nights for parties are, like, DJs with one band, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like with your guys, like, the sound you guys do, it's like you fit, you know, but that band is also kind of like a DJ set. Like, they have to keep the energy.
We've done that before, and it's worked great.
And I think that, you know, it's that fine line between, show and party, and one band is a party, two bands are a show, and it's a totally different approach to how you're going out and like the way that people are like engaged or paying attention. So, you know, I think that you guys fit.
But I think that you guys will pair nicely with like Bake Sale Hood Up You, who is definitely a Vivian Girls esque inspired Memphis quartet.
Why don't we get another song?
They were great.
Those girls were great.
Let's get another
great
song.
Guitar playing.
Yeah.
Another song.
Yeah. Let's get another song.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. All right, so we got the Immaculates playing live on Snacky Tunes. Big shout out to Zoe Shack. Happy birthday, Zoe. Here we go. Take it away.
Come on.
Damn. That is...
Sorry, so you have the biggest smile on your face when you're drumming.
That's because I made a mistake.
Oh. Oh. Is that it?
Hey, Greg, like way to call him out.
Oh, I was like, man, he looks so happy.
So I with all that movement, I can see why you chose not to eat pizza before the performance.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good after, though.
Pizza was a bad choice.
Beer was good.
The beer will just loosen those limbs up. Heat up those pipes.
We should go to Mason Premier Lair today and get some oysters and beer.
I mean, I was running today listening to last week's episode because I wasn't here, and I was like, dollar oysters sounds awesome.
Did you get that off our podcast archive?
Where are their dollar oysters?
Right there.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Mason Premier does dollar oysters from 4 to 7 every day.
And it's not just like those stringy little poopy oysters. It's like their menu.
Stringy little poopy oysters.
You know what I'm talking about.
Who serves those?
My brother was just at some place. I think he was there and he said they had...
Or something like that. It's like different.
They have like 15
I've been over there and I love oysters.
You're a big oyster fan? Yeah, what do you guys eat in Williamsburg? What's your place?
Diner.
Diner?
For like a nice meal? Yeah, Diner Marlowe and Sons.
How about for like I'm hungover?
Yeah, when you're slumming it.
Maybe Taco Chulo. Ooh, maybe Best Pizza.
Those nachos?
Best
the nachos.
The nachos.
The nachos.
Yes. Those nachos for the hangover cure. Oh.
They have the pies and thighs.
Come on,
one more thing about their nachos. Their nachos have so much toppings that you have to order extra chips to get all the toppings up. Nowhere else.
No. Usually it's like a thin layer of topping, and then you're like, right. You're like, yeah, what is this?
We actually like this place that's kind of like off the radar that we'll give love to called Patricia's.
Oh, I never heard of that.
It's on Broadway between Wythe and Kent. There's like a little alley right there, but it's right on Broadway. It's this old school kind of Italian place. It's newer, though, but they have a place in the Bronx, and it's like family. It's like New York Italian. It's like ziti, you know?
Okay.
Oh, okay. It's like
so
simple.
So like red sauce and checker tablecloth.
It's simple, and it's kind of like not hipsters, you know? So it's kind of fun. Like, you're like, I'm writing, you know, but it's like...
I only like going to places where my server's drunker than I am, so...
No, they are drunk, but they're just like,
Patricia's on Broadway between Wythe and...
Yeah, it's dope. That's right. It's like...
Really
check out that, like, they have, like, some... they do this calamari where then they put it with, like, banana peppers in, like, a spicy red sauce. Like, you know, stuff like that. It's simple and kind of a, you know, more like...
So, I have a question.
Can we ask you, what's with all the burger places opening up around all of us? Do you see the new one, Burger Guru, on, like, North Ace?
You ever been to Bad Burger? It's really bad. It's gross.
It's like Williamsburger.
I mean, I love a good burger, but I feel like we have... I mean, I think Diner's Burger...
And then Dumont Burger, like...
I mean, those burgers are great. And actually, Roebling Tea Room has a really, really good burger, too.
Is that the one with the English Muffin?
What's the one? No, that's... The English Muffin is
Piano's
so
has
good.
An English Muffin
Piano's.
Burger. That one's... It's like makes pianos worthwhile. It's like
there's a place on North 6th. Sweetwater?
Sweetwater. That's English Muffin. Yeah, I
love the English Muffin.
I guess I just don't understand new burger places opening up in that North 8th.
It's an easy sell.
Meanwhile, we don't really have a great Indian restaurant at all.
Oh, no. A place opened up on Grand.
It's okay.
Oh, I haven't been there yet. You've been there?
It's okay.
It's all right.
But yeah, I mean a good Indian place would come in and like sweep. There's that place in North Fifth that's fine.
I mean, we can open a place called Samosas and Dosas.
Killer Dumpling Place.
Yeah, Killer Dumpling Place. We just got the meatball shop.
That's cool.
And what else?
I gotta go to Flushing or over the bridge to get dumplings, though. I don't know.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, the Banh Mi place was a nice addition.
Yeah, Matoy.
You're thinking of the Banh Mi on Bedford.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what's actually really good Mexican food? The one on North 7th and Bedford, that little truck right next to Salvation Armor.
I never go there.
They're semitas. If you have no plans for the rest of the day, go get a semita. It's really awesome.
I'm from California, so Mexican food is just
different. Yeah, that's
thoughts on Dos Toros?
It's good. It's like...
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
It's good. No, it's like a good place in California. It's like, it's the right style... And
yeah.
It's good. I like it. And I've only eaten it once, so I can't, like, really, like, you know, fully...
Well, if you come to the barbecue this Saturday...
I actually like that place.
I really like
Acapulco or whatever. It's, like, way up... No, that's not the name of it. It's, like, you know where St. Vitus is?
Papacito?
No, not that place. Do you know where St. Vitus is? Like, way up on Manhattan?
Acapulco.
Yeah, it's right next door to that.
Mm-mm.
It's so good. It's, like, on Manhattan, like, almost at the end.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Calexico, but that's its own thing.
Yeah, Calexico's great.
I've still never been there.
It is good.
They just... I think on Friday night they launched their like late night menu.
Oh, cool!
When you're hungry.
So we're running short on time, so we want to make sure we get all the Twitter handle, website thing, and get one more song in.
Okay.
So
it's just theimmaculates.com. It's not really that hard. And Twitter is theimmaculates.
Done. SoundCloud, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook.
SoundCloud is Immaculate.
I think the Immaculates on Facebook is a white rap group.
Yeah, we don't know that.
It's not.
But that's not side project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt puts his hair in cornrows.
SoundCloud is just Immaculates.
Okay. And then when's the next show after Brooklyn Bowl? Anything?
It's another one at Brooklyn Bowl in the
September.
Oh, you guys doing a little residency?
We're planning a tour probably around August.
From no, Death sorry, by October. Audio October. To
we're
Brooklyn
doing
Bowl.
A 7-inch and a tour in October.
And we have a show at Dead Herring.
We have a show at Dead Herring coming up, but I don't remember
the
date.
The 30th of September.
Awesome. Right. Well, you can get all the information there. Hey, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing this drum set. I've been looking dapper and hanging out.
Thanks
and,
to Noah Ray.
My tie matches my drum set.
Oh, I noticed all your ties match. Thanks to Noah.
An accident.
Noah Ray from Mile End, citywinery.com for all information for the barbecue blowout this Saturday. And guess
Mile
what? Mile End's going to be there. Dos Toros, Mexico, Van Dag,
Craft,
Momofuku, Punches, Computer Magic,
Ducky,
Mild, Midnight Magic. And guess what? The best part about the barbecue happening next Saturday is that you never have to hear us push it again until next summer.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm excited for it, but it'll be nice to take a verbal break from it.
I've been eating those Mile End sandwiches every Sunday.
Oh,
they rule.
I know. And also tonight, Punches is playing at Westway, and then Thursday night we're playing at Tammany Hall.
With French Horn Rebellion and Low Dose.
It starts the Flava Party.
The Flava Party. Party.
I think they're going to be dancers, actually.
I'm pretty sure they sent us a flyer and they said 12:30 surprise, and it's not.
It's not Terry out of a cake.
It's not Terry out of a cake. All right. Thanks for listening. We got the boys from TV Disco on next week.
And the food guest is Lauren Dean.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. She's great. She's a fantastic television producer.
All right, boys. What's this last song called?
It's called That Sound.
That Sound. All right. The Immaculates on Snacky Tunes. Here we go. We'll be right back.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat & 3.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert. Thanks for listening.